eternal things in the Word of God that we've been studying here these last four or five sessions on Sunday night in Romans chapter 8. And again tonight I want us to go back to Romans 8 and notice a couple of verses here. And then next Sunday night, the Lord willing, will be Romans chapter 8, 28. That's the verse I've been waiting for. I love that verse because I've had to claim it a number of times, and I've had to try to help other people to claim that verse. But all these things thus far have been leading up to, I believe, that verse, and then these final verses in the Word of God. We have four or five more messages to go yet in Romans 8, and tonight we'll be in Romans chapter 8, verse 26 and verse 27. Now, we're talking about eternal things, and we're talking about that we ought not to have a spirit of fear as a child of God. Now, don't get me wrong. We must fear the Lord. We've got to fear God. But in this world in which we're living, we ought not to live in fear. And that spirit of fear ought not to overtake us and engulf us, that we cannot operate in this life as a believer, as a Christian. And there are a lot of Christians tonight, there are a lot of people that say they're saved, and they live in dread of fear continually. And that is far below the standard that God has for you and I. In verses number 1 through 4, we noticed, we'll just try to recap some of these things to keep your thoughts going the same direction. In verses 1 through 4, we found that we ought not to have the spirit of fear because we have been pardoned from an eternal penalty. Thank God I'm not going to hell, I'm going to heaven. And my pardon has been signed by the Lord Jesus Christ. Man is guilty of sin. Man has that guilt over him. And sin has a grip upon us, but thank God the Lord's amazing grace takes care of that. And we have been pardoned from that eternal penalty. Then in verses 5 through 13, we noticed that we possess an eternal presence. And that eternal presence is none other than the blessed Holy Spirit that lives within our heart. And then verses 14 through 17, we find that we ought not to have the spirit of fear because we are partners. You ever think about that? We're partners with an eternal person. And that person is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. We are joint heirs with Him. We seek the same leadership, and we stand in that same language, and we're to speak the same language, and we stand in the same liberty that we have in the Lord. And thank God we share the load with Him, and He takes care of it, and we put our burden on Him. Then verses 18 through 25, where that we were last Sunday night, we found that we have no spirit of fear because that we have been pointed to an eternal prospect. There's something ahead for us. There's a future that all of us have as a believer. And of course, that future is in heaven. And that's a doctrine that we have that has no doubt about it, that we're going to heaven as a saved person. And then tonight, I want us to notice in verses 26 through 27 that we are to have no spirit of fear because that we can pray with an eternal prophet. We can pray and we can profit from that. It means we can get gain from our prayers. Now, I'm talking on a subject tonight that probably is the most neglected thing that or privilege that all of us have, and it's that thing of prayer and seeking God's face. I believe there are two neglected things in the life of a believer, and they go hand in hand, and that's our prayer life and our Bible study life. And those things are neglected. We find that we have time to do everything except that. We find that we have time to visit. We find that we have time to run to and fro. We find that we have time to do good things. But when it comes down to studying the Word of God and seeking God's face, it just takes more time than what we have that we want to give. And so therefore, it's neglected in our life. And because it's neglected, fear comes upon us. You see, this book right here will keep you from sin. It'll keep you out of trouble if you'll stay close to the Lord and study the Word of God. The Bible says, study to show thyself approved, a workman unto God, that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the Word of God. We must study the Scriptures, and that's more than just sitting down and reading a passage. It takes hard work to study. The kids around here at school, they don't like to study. And I find out that adults don't like to study. You know why? It takes our time. It takes that time that we could be doing something else. This afternoon is a beautiful day that God has given us. And, I mean, we had had a great day. And the sun was shining, the weather's good. And one of the hardest things for me to do sometimes on Sunday afternoon, it's better for me if it's raining and snowing and all that stuff. I can get up here and not worry about it. But boy, a day like today, it's hard to sit in the study and just stay there and keep your nose in the book and pray and ask God to help you. But that's where it is. And we've got to learn to discipline ourselves to study the Word of God. And then we must discipline ourselves in this thing of prayer. Nobody's going to make you study. Nobody's going to make you pray. But you have to have that self-discipline that you know you ought to do that. And so we're going to talk tonight and going to speak upon that subject of that we can pray and have an eternal benefit or an eternal profit. Let's read verse 26, verse number 27, Romans chapter 8. It says, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Now, you'll notice here the Holy Spirit makes intercession for the saints. It's not for anybody else. It's for the saints, and it's in and to and because of the will of God. That's one of the things that we have to have in our life, is that will of God. Fear always attracts seemingly a large crowd. I dare say tonight, if I was to come and ask you individually, and we'd be honest, there's probably more of us in here that fear something than those that do not fear something. We all have that anxiety. We all have that fear. I told someone the other day, the thing that really bothers many of us is that fear of the unknown, not knowing what's around the corner. Not knowing what's over the hill, not knowing what's ahead of us, we have that fear, that anxiety of just not knowing. Fear always attracts a large audience, and most people listen to the talk and listen to the conversation of fear, but we as Christians should not listen to that conversation. We are to be earnestly expecting the manifestations of the Son of God. We got on that just a little bit last Sunday night. The Bible tells us in 1 John chapter number 3, I want to read those verses. It says, Beloved, chapter 3, verse 2 says, Beloved, now we are the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. That expectation for the child of God, that we are to be yearning and looking for that time when the Lord Jesus Christ shall make us and form us and fashion us like unto him, and we will be like the Lord. That's that destiny that every believer has. But until then, we are to watch and we are to pray. Until that time comes in our life, we are to be watching and praying on these areas and in these issues of life that come up. The Bible tells us in Mark chapter 13 and verse number 32, But of that day and that hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels which are in heaven, neither the Son, but the Father. The day that Jesus is coming is known only of the Father. But then it says in verse number 33, says, Take ye heed, watch and pray, for ye know not when the time is. We are commanded of the Word of God that we're to be watching and praying and praying and watching and watching and praying until Jesus does come for us. And so until that time that we are manifested as the Son of God, as the children of God, until the world knows that we are born again, until the world can see that evidence, that Spirit of God that makes it evident that we are believers, then we are to be watching and praying. The Bible, Jesus told his disciples to watch and pray lest they entered into temptation, lest they go into doing something and things that they ought not to be involved in. And so we find that prayer is so very important. The preacher by the name of John Bunyan made this statement. He said, Prayer is a shield to the soul. It is a sacrifice to God and a scourge to Satan. And that is true. Prayer, that thing of prayer that we neglect so many times, is a shield to our soul. It'll help us through problems and through trials. It'll shield us from the fiery darts of the wicked one. Not only is it a shield, but it's a sacrifice to God. You got to give up your time. You've got to give up your activities to get alone with God. And by the way, praying is more than lay me down to sleep type prayer. Real praying, praying in the Spirit of the Lord, it takes real work. And it doesn't just happen immediately. And most of the time, what we hear with our ears is not real prayer according to the Word of God. Most of the time what we say, even in churches, we speak to the Lord and we pray, but that's not the type of prayer I'm speaking of tonight. That's a form of praying, but I'm talking about real Holy Ghost praying. It comes from a person and an individual that gets alone with God and has a burden and just desires to get alone and talk with God about his problems and his trials and making even intercession for other and supplication and all those areas of prayer. That comes about and it is a result of real toiling work. It's hard to pray. It's hard to get a hold, and it's not really hard to get a hold of God, but it's hard for us to get in a position where we can get a hold of God. It's hard for us to get to the place where God will hear us and God will answer us. And so we're going to be dealing with this thing of prayer tonight. There's a lot of scripture concerning prayer, and I want to just give you some 4 or 5 verses here in different passages of scripture, the invitation that God gives us that we are to pray. In Matthew chapter number 7, verses 7-8, the Bible says, "Ask and it shall be given you, seek and ye shall find, knock and shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened." Now that gives me a promise there from the Word of God that if I seek and I ask and I plead and pray to God, he will hear me and he'll answer me. Now the Bible says in Philippians chapter 4, and verse number 6, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God." You don't have to make them be known unto men. The Scripture says, "Let your requests be made known unto God." And if you will tell God about it, that's all you need to tell. If you'll open your heart to the Lord, He has the means whereby to give you what you're asking for. He has the ability, He has the desire to fulfill those things in our life when we're praying in the will of God. In 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5, verse 17 and 18. Verse 17, three little words, but it's very, very important. It says, "Pray without ceasing." Now, it doesn't mean you have to go around all the time with your head bowed, but it says it means to pray. It means to be in an attitude. To be able to get a hold of God just in the split moment as you need the Lord. Before you leave this building tonight, before you get home tonight, you may need God. Before we pillow our head tonight, we may have to call and cry to God. And that scripture says there, be ready where you can pray. Amen. Be ready where you can get a hold of God. Don't have to wonder if God's going to hear you. Keep your life in such a way that God will hear your prayer. Pray without ceasing. Verse number 18 says, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." Then in Psalm number 145, verse 18, verse number 19, it says, "The Lord is nigh unto them all, or unto all them that call upon Him, to all that call upon Him in truth. He will fulfill the desire of them that fear Him. He will hear their cry and will save them." Here's the promise of the Lord, that if we call upon His name, if we cry to Him and let our petitions be made known to Him, that God is nigh to us and He will take care of us. In Psalm number 34, verse number 15, and then verse number 17, the Bible says, "The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and His ears are open to their cry." Aren't you glad tonight that the eyes of God is upon us, we that are the righteous of God, we that are born again, we that are saved? The Bible says His eyes looking upon us. But not only that, but it says His ears are open unto our cry. When we cry, "Oh Father," He's there to hear us. When we have despair and problems of life, we can say, "God, help me." And His ear is opened that He hears our very cry. Verse number 17 of Psalm 34 says, "The righteous cry and the Lord heareth." The righteous cry and the Lord heareth and delivereth them out of their troubles. Thank God tonight you're in trouble. You're in trouble with this world. You're in trouble with the things around you. You can cry to God. His ear is open to your cry, and that He will deliver us out of our troubles. And these things are just promises of the Lord concerning this thing of prayer. In Hebrews chapter number 4 and verse number 16, it says, "Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." Come boldly to God. Why? Because we've been bought by the precious blood of the Son of God. We have access unto Him by the blood, by the grace of God. And so therefore, we don't have to go in timidly. We don't have to go into a little room in the corner and talk through a little peephole to someone. We can come boldly to God and say, "God, hear my cry and answer my plea." The Bible tells us that. And so these are scriptures that give us an invitation and a promise of our prayer life. There's a lot of illustrations in the Word of God concerning prayer. The Bible is full of the accounts of men that have prayed and women that have prayed and that God has answered them. I just jotted down some of them as I thought of them this afternoon and this week. Abraham prayed, and Sodom and Gomorrah, was the doom of it was postponed for a while. I find that Moses prayed and Israel was forgiven of their idolatry. The Bible says that Joshua prayed and the sun stood still. The Bible says that Hannah prayed and God gave her a son. The scriptures tell us that Solomon prayed and God gave him wisdom. Elijah prayed and fire fell from heaven. The three Hebrew men, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, they prayed and God walked in the midst of their fire. And I'm glad tonight that God can walk in the midst of my fire and the problems of life that come my way, that my God is the same God that they serve. My God's real, as Brother Danny sang about a while ago, that He's the real God and He hears me and He'll answer me and He'll walk in the midst of the fires of my life and the problems that come my way. Hezekiah prayed and God added 15 years to his life. Daniel prayed and the lions lost their appetite. I find 120 disciples prayed in the upper room, and just a few days after that, 3,000 people were born again and were saved and added to the church. I find that Peter prayed and Dorcas was brought back to life. I find that the church prayed and Peter got out of jail. And you can go on and on and on of people in the Word of God that have prayed and God gave the answer. I think of men like John Knox. He prayed and Scotland was shaken and moved by the gospel because he prayed. I think of a man like David Brainerd that prayed and revival broke out all over England, and he came over here and revival broke out in America because of one man's prayer and was dedicated to the work of God. I think of a man like George Whitfield that prayed and thousands were saved. D.L. Moody and others that we could think of, and many, many multitudes of people that have been willing to give of themselves out to prayer. And God answered their prayer. May God help us. May we realize that what God did in the past, He can do for us. Amen. What God did in days gone by, He can do now for us. But it is this thing that we've got to get our lives in such a way that we can pray to God and we can ask Him for help. While we wait for the glory to be revealed in us, we are to be praying people. We are to be obedient to the command of God that we are to pray and seek His face. The Christian hope in this life is our conversation with Him. Do you realize that? The only hope that I have and the only encouragement that I have is when I can get a hold of God. Because I'll tell you what, you watch the news reports, you listen to the news report, you read the newspaper, that kind of conversation doesn't do anything except bring you down. But you have conversation with the Lord and see what happens. That broken spirit can be mended. That broken heart can be put back together. And homes and lives can be drawn back into full fellowship of the Lord if we have conversation with Him. And if we pray, we will have a gain or a profit. If we pray and ask God, He will reveal to us and will help us. The reason that we can is because we have a Holy Spirit abiding in us. The only reason, the only way we can pray is to understand and to know that the Holy Spirit lives within my heart and lives within your heart. That's what that verse says here. Verse number 26, just the first part of it, says, "Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities." Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. That word "likewise" means in the same way. It refers back to the hope that we have in verse number 25. Notice there. It says, "But if we hope for that which we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. Those verses go together. Just because in Scofield Bible you might have to turn a page, they go together. Just because there's a sentence that a period at one a sentence, you put them together. Likewise, because, the same manner, just as we have that hope in the Lord, we have it because of the Holy Spirit. That word also means that there are many other things that the Holy Spirit helps us with. He don't just help us pray. The Holy Spirit, that's not just all of His job, but it says, likewise, the Spirit also, along with all the other things that the Spirit of God's work does in my life and your life, along with those things, the Holy Spirit helps me to learn how to pray. You see, the Holy Spirit, first of all, drew me to the Lord. I've said it many, many times, and I'll keep saying it. Everybody that's in this building that's saved, you are drawn by the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of God got a hold of you, and that's the work of the Spirit of God, to convict men of sin and convince them that they're wrong and ungodly, undone, without hope in this world. And that's one of the works. But thank God, likewise also, He helps us to pray. After He brings us into the family of God, after He reveals to us that we're lost and undone and without God, all of a sudden He begins to help us with our infirmities and begins to help us to pray. The Holy Spirit has introduced us into a new way of life. Therefore, we're able to live as we should live. We're able to lead the life that God wants us to lead. We are to be convinced that we are and are in the family of God. All of these things are a result of the Holy Spirit working in our life. And so these verses here tell us not only about prayer, but tell us about the one that helps our prayer life. Without His help, without the help of the Holy Spirit, we would not be able to pray. Without Him bringing some things to our minds and some abilities to our life, we wouldn't even be able to pray. The Spirit helpeth our infirmities. That helpeth. Sort of is like a strong man that comes and helps a weak man, and we're the weak man. If I was to take a thread tonight, just one little strand of thread, I could break that thread real easily. But you take six or seven threads and you twist them together and put them together, they have become strong. That's the way the Spirit of God deals in your life and my life. By ourselves, we have weaknesses. By ourselves, we can't do much. But oh, thank God, when we're twined together with the Lord as a twine, when we're put together and have that strength, our weaknesses are helped, our infirmities are helped by the Holy Spirit that sort of just wraps around us and gives us strength to carry on and to serve Him. It is just like a man that is weak, and a strong man comes to help him. The Holy Spirit is our prayer partner. That's what the Bible says here. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. He's our prayer partner. A lot of times folks will have prayer partners. They'll share burdens with one another, and they'll get on the phone, and they'll talk about their different needs, and they'll have a prayer partner, and that's good, and that's great. A person can have someone that they can talk to and they can pray together with, but the greatest partner you'll ever have is the Holy Spirit. The greatest one that you can ever go to and bear your burden to is the Lord Jesus Christ through the Holy Spirit. We can be strong if we will let Him have His way in our life. Not only we can be strong, but we can be sure of things we don't even know. That's what verse 26 says. And the next part of it says, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. Have you ever gone to pray and just didn't know how to pray? Have you ever gone to the Lord and said, God, I need to pray? And you get alone in your prayer closet. You get alone by yourself and you just don't know how to pray. You just don't know how to articulate the words. You don't know how to do that. Most of us are ignorant about prayer. We need to have the teaching of the Word of God. We must have these things to help us to realize that we have one that goes along beside us and helps us in that thing of prayer. God gives us general things to pray on, but very few of us know how to really pray. I mean, we can pray for our country, and that's good and great. We can pray for one another, and that's commendable, that's great. But there's some prayer that is very personal. And sometimes we don't know how to utter that. There are some times that there's prayer that's in our heart and in our lives that we wouldn't want anybody else to know about it. That's only for the Lord. We pray and we don't know how. We don't know how to thank and we don't know how to ask. And without the Spirit of God, we'd never do that. I found this little poem and I thought it was so right for tonight concerning our prayer. It says, I asked God for strength that I might achieve, and I was made weak that I might obey. I asked for health that I might do greater things. I was given infirmities that I might do better things. I asked God for riches that I might be happy. I was given poverty that I might be wise. I asked for power that I might have the praise of men. I was given weakness that I might feel the need of God. I asked for all things that I might enjoy life. And I was given life that I might enjoy all things. And then it goes on. It says, I got nothing I asked for, but everything that I hoped for. Almost despite myself, my unspoken prayers were answered. I am among men most richly blessed. I don't know who wrote that, but they'd found out that the things they asked for wasn't necessarily the best things. I thought of this. I asked for riches that I might be happy, given poverty that I might be wise. I asked for power that I might have the praise of men. I was given weakness that I might know I needed God. Oh, so many times we don't know how to pray. So many times we don't know what to ask for. In addition to not knowing what to say, many times we don't even know how to say it. The Spirit does help us as believers. And He does for us as believers what a lawyer does in a courtroom. Now, I couldn't defend myself in a courtroom because I don't know the language. I don't know the terminology. I don't know all the nooks and the crannies of the law. I don't know how to get around all those things. And I couldn't very well defend myself. But a lawyer does that for me. And the Holy Spirit does the same thing for me in my prayer. He knows the language of the court of heaven. And so therefore He can take my groanings and my words that I cannot utter. And He can bring them before the throne of grace. And He does that as my lawyer. A lawyer speaks the language of the courts, and the Holy Spirit speaks the language of the courts of heaven, and it can be understood and can be taken care of. We can speak for what we cannot utter. We can have those things that God has given us. In Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25, and 1 John chapter 2, verse 1, tells us that Jesus intercedes for us in heaven. But here in our passage of Scripture tonight, we find out that the Holy Spirit intercedes for us in our heart. See, He helps us. He goes along beside, likewise, also, alongside of. He is that one that picks us up when we're down. And He's that one that's there right beside us when we're faltering and failing. He's that one that's when we don't even know how to utter a word, He gives the language that only God can understand and knows that. We can't say anything. Little boy was praying one night. His father overheard him. The little boy was saying, A, B, C, D, E, F, G, went all the way through the alphabet. He didn't know his father was listening. When he got through, his father said, Son, what are you doing? The little boy said, Well, Daddy, I'm praying. And the daddy sort of sarcastically said, Well, it didn't sound like a prayer to me. The little boy said, Well, I didn't know what to ask for. I just gave God the letters, and I thought He could make the words. That's pretty good. Sometimes we don't know what to ask for. Sometimes we don't know how to put our case before God. But I'm glad the Holy Spirit of God does. And the Scripture here says, the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Have you ever got in any prayer closet? Have you ever been alone with God and all of a sudden all you could do was groan before the Lord? That's a language that God understands and knows, and the Holy Spirit of God takes those things and puts them into the terminology that God knows, and God hears us and knows the very desires of our heart. May we understand that the Holy Spirit intercedes for us. He helps us. Our praying for others and with others. The Holy Spirit teaches us to pray, not my will, but thine be done. If He doesn't teach us that, and we don't learn that, we're never going to get much from the Lord. Most of our prayer, if we'd be honest with each other, most of our prayer is, God, I need. Now that's one way of praying, but that's not the only way of praying. God, I need. Or God, I want. Or God, will you? We pray very selfishly. We pray for ourselves. We pray for our families. And we pray for maybe close friends. But other than that, we just about let it go. We lay down and we pillow our head at night and we say, God, forgive me for all the things that I've done today. If we really had that heartfelt repentance toward God, we wouldn't be able to go to sleep at night. We wouldn't be able to sleep because of what those things were in our lives. God helps us through the Holy Spirit, and prayer brings us to a point of contact with God, and that's the only way. This is the only way God will speak to you. Now, if somebody tells you they've had a vision, they've had some far out wild experience, you can just put it down that it's not of the Lord. This Bible here is the only way we receive anything from God. We don't have any new inspiration. We don't have any new messages from God. We've got the book, and that's all we need. We've got this Bible, and that's all that we have to have. And so when somebody comes along and says, well, God told me to do this, and it's foreign to the Word of God, you can just put it down. It didn't come from the Lord. It didn't come from God. Well, the Spirit of God impressed upon me to do this or do that. If it's wrong, according to the Word of God, it didn't come from the Holy Spirit. It just didn't come from there. But we come now, how do I talk to God? It's by my prayer. God talks to me right here. He gives impressions to my mind and to my heart. All of a sudden, I find myself wanting to talk to the Lord. All of a sudden, I find myself a one-sided conversation. That's no good. How would you like to be around somebody that just did all the talking? No, we begin to want the desire to talk to the Lord. And there's where the Holy Spirit comes in to help us. There's where the Holy Spirit comes in and He searches us. The Bible says here in verse number 27, and he that searcheth the heart knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. The Holy Spirit will help you pray for the will of God. The Holy Spirit will lead you and will guide you and direct you and help you to understand what God wants in your life. Don't just flip a coin and say, well, whatever way it lands, that's the way I'll go. I saw a little cartoon one time in some religious periodical. I may have told this. Had the preacher down here, he had four or five different sermons out. And preachers always keep their sermons. If they don't, they ought to.
I've got every sermon I ever preached. Showed the preacher down here on his knees and had number 42, number 68, and how that's all numbered out there. And Sunday morning, about 9, the clock showed 9:45 or 10:45, something like that. And he's flipping a coin, and he said, come on, number 42. That's not the way I get my sermons, by the way. Sometimes it's almost that desperate. You feel like, oh, me, what am I going to do? But that's not the way we get anything. We don't get it just by chance. We don't do things just by chance, but we do what we do as the Spirit of God leads us and helps us and helps our infirmities, our weaknesses, and goes right along beside us and wraps around us to make us strong. And we can say, God, help me do thy will. And the Spirit of God said, all right, I'll do that for you. That's praying, and that's having the Spirit of the Lord to help us. Two or three things in Baptist churches that are really, really forgotten. And that's the work of the Holy Spirit. And we need that. We've got to have it or we'll die. We've had so many groups that go wild on different things. We think, well, somebody will think bad of us if I even mention it. Well, the Bible still is full of the Holy Spirit. And the Bible teaches us of the Holy Spirit, His work. And so therefore we must do what the Spirit of God leads us to do. And then this thing of prayer, and they go hand in hand. Now you can go home tonight, and you can lay down, and you can pray your little form prayer, and it won't do you a bit of good. Now, we all do it, but it still is not what the Bible talks about real praying. And we can get up every morning and we can ask the Lord to help and to bless. Nothing wrong with that. But I'm talking about getting along with God, getting God's answer, praying in the will of the Lord. And that comes about by the work of the Holy Spirit in our life. Prayer is the soul's sincere desire, unuttered or expressed. The motion of a hidden fire that trembles in the breast. Prayer is the burden of a sigh, the falling of a tear, the upward glance of an eye, when none but God is near. Prayer is not our making long exhortation with our prayers. That's what was wrong with some of the Pharisees. They stood and they made long prayers that the people around could hear them. God and Jesus said, that's not praying. You can pray and never utter a word. Most of real praying comes from not really talking, but it's just our thoughts toward God. You can pray. You don't have to shut your eyes. Steve Allen told me, he said, why should I shut my eyes when I pray? We was talking about prayer and different things. He said, why should I shut my eyes? I don't see anyway. He said, I can pray just like this. And most of the time he does. He throws that head back and he just prays. So prayer is not necessarily the articulation of our words, but it's our thoughts to Godward. And the Holy Spirit helps us. He makes intercession. He helps us. He strengthens us. He guides us. He directs us that we pray in the will of God. When we can't utter a word and God knows our heart, I've talked to people that just said, I cannot pray. And what they were confused about was that they could not say words. That's not necessarily prayer. They said, I just can't say anything to the Lord. You don't have to say something. But our thoughts to God is our prayer. And the Holy Spirit accompanies that. And the Holy Spirit helps us. And He gives us our infirmities. He helps us. And He gives us strength. May we learn to pray. The disciples asked the Lord Jesus, said, teach us to pray. They didn't say teach us how to pray. We all know how to pray. We all know how to say the right words and do the right things and say the right sentences. And we know how to do it. We just need to do it. We know how to do things. We just need to do it. And so the disciples said, Lord, teach us to pray. And I think tonight we ought to say, God, teach us to pray. God, help us. When I'm weak, make me strong. God, don't help me to pray selfish prayers. As that little poem I gave you a while ago. Don't have me to pray those things. It's all on me. The man that wrote that, he said, I prayed for all these things. And I got nothing that I prayed for, but I got what I wanted. You know what God did? God changed his attitude of prayer, his desires of life. Many times we can pray, and God will give us an answer, but it's not what we thought it would be. And say, if we're not careful, I was talking to someone the other day, and they said, I don't really want to say this, but I'm afraid it's true. And they said, I'm just angry with God. I'm talking about a child of God. You know why they said that? Because God gave them an answer to some prayers that wasn't necessarily what they wanted. Praying selfishly. But God gave them what they needed. Praying in the desire of wanting, and God gave something else. If we're not careful, We'll think, well, God, you don't really love me. God, you don't know what I really desire. Oh, yes, God knows what we desire. Don't ever think that God doesn't know the very thoughts and the intents of your heart, because He does. These verses here tell us that the Spirit helps our infirmities. We know not how we should pray as we ought, but the Spirit of God takes those groanings and those unuttered words and takes them to heaven. And God knows our heart, and God answers our prayer by the help of the Holy Spirit. Jesus is in heaven making intercession for us. The Holy Spirit of God's in our heart making intercession for us. So we're on the winning side. We're going to win. We have the Lord. We have the way to get to heaven, the desires that God gives to each of us. So may we learn to pray.
pray in the will of God, pray in the Spirit of the Lord, and have the Holy Spirit of God just motivate you and help you, and then take what God gives you and say, God, for I know all things work together for good. That's why that verse is next, because sometimes what God gives us, we don't understand. And so the Lord, in His grace and mercy, He said, the Spirit of God helps you to pray. You get what you need, not necessarily what you want. So you're going to have to know now everything that for a believer works for their good. God says, I give you my best. And it's for your good and for your help. Let's stand tonight. We ought not to fear. We've got someone that'll help us pray. We've got one that'll go along beside us and will help us in our prayer life. Let's go to the Lord in prayer and ask God to bless the message, and then we'll have a verse of song. Our Father, I pray now that, Lord, you'd take these words on these couple of verses, Lord, just teaching tonight upon the Word of God. I pray that you would help us to understand the importance of prayer in our lives. God, our talking and our meditating upon you. Our Father, I pray that you'd help us not just to say words, not just to go through a form and a fashion, but God, that we would really learn to pray. And then, Lord, that we would learn to accept what you give us. Accept the answer that you send from heaven. Now, Father, I pray tonight that we'd take these things, apply them to our heart, our lives, our families, everything about us. And, Lord, that we would know that you're in control of everything and that you'll help us. The Spirit of God would help us in our prayer life. Forgive us now where we have failed, where we've gone astray. Keep us close to you, dear Lord. Keep our hearts warm and soft and pliable. God, help us to know the will of God and then to do it. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Song, Sweet Hour of Prayer tonight. What number is that?
356.
Page number 356. I'm glad God's given us a sweet hour of prayer. The only problem is we don't use it. We don't use the time many times that God gives us. We have that available to us if we would just let Him have His way in our life and seek God's face. If you have not come to that point, you'll come to the place in your life that you have to get a hold of God. That you just got to do it. Doesn't matter what anybody else thinks or says, you've just got to get a hold of the Lord. And you won't worry about what words you say, if they're exactly right. And you won't worry about if everything's just in order. You just want to get a hold of God. You want to get a hold of where the Lord is and say, God, I need you today. There's learning to pray. Sweet hour of prayer tonight. Let's sing together.
Sweet hour of prayer, sweet hour.
Thank God for that privilege tonight.
In seasons of distress and grief, my soul has often found relief. And all this chain, the tempter's snare, by thy return.
Says one day we'll say farewell, farewell, sweet hour of prayer. That's the victory note. One day we won't have to have it. Won't it be good to be able to just stand before the Lord? We won't have any petitions. We won't have any requests.
Amen.
But just stand before the Lord and say thank you, thank you, thank you. Bless His holy name. We won't have to say, God, I need this. Lord, I've got this problem. Won't have to have that.
That's right.
One day we'll go through there and we'll say farewell, farewell, sweet hour of prayer. Goodbye, I don't need you anymore. That's one of the former things. That's a lot of former things of this life are bad. But there's some former things that's going to pass away that's good. And that's one of them.
That's what's going to pass away because we won't need it anymore. We'll be face to face with the Lord forever and forever. Let's sing that last stanza tonight. Think about the glory of what it'd be like to not have any needs, not have any problems, not have any sorrows. Boy, won't that be great? These old bodies that wear out, they won't wear out there. We're going to have a new body fashioned like into His glorious body. They won't have aches and pains. Jean back there won't have to walk around on crutches. Hopefully she won't have to leave much more of that here. But I mean, all the ailments and all the problems that come to this body, you know, all of that comes because of one thing, that's sin.
That's right.
I mean, if Adam and Eve had the sin, we could live forever. But I'm of the opinion if Adam and Eve hadn't sinned, then somebody else would have. Probably me or you. We're sinners. All that results is in these things going bad. And all when we get to heaven, the former things of life pass away. And we go up in the air to be with the Lord forever. We may salute prayer and say goodbye. Don't need you anymore. It's over. We won't have to have it. That's a blessed thought. Let's sing that last stanza.
Sweet hour of prayer, sweet hour.
Consolation share,
pray upon.